Our second interview focuses on the effects of smoking on eye health. This topic was requested by a listener via the Suggest a Topic area on the Docket website. 1 in 5 adults habitually smokes, representing a significant part of any optometrist's patient pool. It's known that smokers are at greater risk of many diseases, including eye diseases, and knowing how to discuss this with them may help some to stop. Stephen Maynell, an optometrist working at an Asda optician's near Portsmouth, has explored how smoking makes the eyes feel dry and made informal observations of changes to the eyes brought about by smoking. Susan Cowling talks to him about the range of eye conditions caused and exacerbated by smoking and how optometrists can deal with the issues raised.
Stephen, what conditions of the eye are associated with smoking?
The Beaver Dam Eye Study and the Blue Mountain Eye Study, which are both very good studies, cohorted 4,000 people and both found increased risk of 3 to 6 times of age-related macular degeneration and also cataracts with smoking. They found a 1.4 times increased risk of dry eye in smokers. Other studies show that women who smoke carry an increased risk of thyroid eye disease, about a 5-fold increase. There's also known to be twice the risk of uveitis, macular edema, and worsening diabetic retinopathy in diabetics. Nicotine stimulates the nicotinic receptors, of course, and these happen to be all over the body, and they're known to constrict the peripheral blood vessels, including those in the eyelids, so it would make the eyelids theoretically cooler and starve the eyelids very slightly of blood. I've also come to believe that nicotine stimulates the lacrimal gland. Now, this goes up and down on a daily basis because during the night you're not smoking, the nicotine level will fall, so the lacrimal system will behave as it should do. But come the afternoon, when the nicotine level in the blood is high, then the lacrimal gland will switch on, people's eyes get slightly more weepy.
You undertook a study of the effects of smoking on your patients. What actually did you look at and why did you decide to do it?
It was an observation that many smokers I found complained of dry, gritty eyes, but when you looked at their eyes, the tear prism was normal and the eye didn't look dry at all. This is not an academic study, but a survey in clinical practice of smokers as part of my continual professional development. It was more an in-depth review of my findings and treatments to try and find a way to help these people. I felt that meibomian glands may be damaged in smokers, and this would reflect as notches in the eyelid. So I wrote a proposal and I checked ethical clearance with my local National Health Research Ethics Committee, and I found that the idea was exempt. The study consisted of detailed questions with smoking habits and recording eye margin features by grading them.
What features did you grade?
The features I looked at were eyelid margin notches and dimples, as described in Ivan Cher's paper of 1998, which was titled Meibomian Marginal Dimples. I also looked at telangiectasia of the eyelid margin and skin wrinkles. The main question I asked myself was, did smokers have more dry eye than never smokers? And I found during the study that they did. Well, that was interesting in itself. 40% of smokers had dry eye symptoms compared to 15% of never smokers. Also, smokers did show progressive eyelid margin notching, so I felt I was on the right track.
Were these ocular changes caused by smoke being blown into the eye?
Well, originally I didn't know, so I compared 20 people who wore heavy eye makeup and compared the eyelid margins to 20 women who didn't wear any makeup at all. And I found they both had the same degree of eye changes and, intriguingly, the same number of symptoms. So this made me think it was really from the blood and not from bypass smoke. After 1 year, I had examined 400 smokers, ex-smokers, and compared them to 400 never-smokers. After that, I decided to carry on and broaden out the findings to see how eyelids responded with smoking cessation and what other problems smokers had.
So what were your main findings, and to what extent were they influenced by the number of cigarettes smoked by a patient?
About 40% of smokers admitted to having dry eye symptoms. This also mirrored about 60% of the smokers who had eyelid margin changes. Acute symptoms of chronic smoking were stinging, lacrimation, migraines, and these started appearing even in fairly new smokers, and that was a surprise for me. even in people as young as their late teens. These symptoms were also the first to stop on quitting, and I felt that it was due to the nicotine levels in the blood. There were also silent changes to the meibomian gland in new smokers, inasmuch that they couldn't feel what was going on to the meibomian glands, even though the meibomian glands were being damaged. I came to think that each gland wasn't just one gland, but really hundreds of acini with an interconnecting duct. So each acini was like a little gland on its own, and each acini could be blocked or stopped working or something was going on with it. And the other acini didn't seem to know that, and neither did the people have any symptoms. So a dropout could be at an acini level, and it then wouldn't show on the eyelid margins. There'd be no notching. I observed many young smokers, and I'm talking about teenagers here, with broken glands or foreshortened glands or dead acini. It's quite common, actually, in smokers. Not had any symptoms of this activity. The long-term changes of smoking seem to appear after 5 or 6 years, meibomian gland loss and lipid layer changes and dry eye symptoms. Again, intriguingly, smokers rarely complain of symptoms. And I don't know why that would be, because if I ask them very carefully, then they will admit to things. But normally it's quite a confused picture. In the longer term, the meibomian glands slowly shrink and become disorganised, and this leads to the dimpling and later notching of the eyelid margin, like Ivan Chur describes. This seems to be dose-dependent, and the margin notches double in severity for every 10 pack years that are smoked. And a pack here, of course, is one packet of cigarettes every day for a year. Smokers also suffer from greater amounts of telangiectasia, and as the tiny blood vessels on the eyelid margin become dilated. Overall, the eyelid margins, I came to believe, look chronically inflamed in smokers, and this inflammation seemed to gradually increase over the years. It didn't exactly tie up with symptoms, but some of the smokers claimed to have no eye symptoms or dry eye at all. Although it would be true to say that those that did have symptoms found that their symptoms increased over the years. I think this may be due to smokers having greater lacrimal production from nicotine stimulation. As a broad rule, I found that the symptoms, the gritty eyes, switched on when people smoked approximately 2/3 of a cigarette for every stone body weight per day. So, for example, a 10-stone person who smoked 7 cigarettes a day would be likely to have gritty eye. But if they smoked on a social basis, say 4 cigarettes a day, then they'd be unlikely to. And I think this is quite an important finding, because people with small bodies, and I'm talking about children here, who do passively smoke, seem to suffer an extra burden of eye irritation. Now, intriguingly, in our smoking people, not only did they have dry eye symptoms, they also had weepy eyes, and this masked the dry eye. The thing is that the weepy eyes switched on later in the day. And so you could say that smokers have a daily cycle of dry eye on awakening, followed by weepy eyes in the evening. And maybe this masks the symptoms. The weepy eye, I speculate, could be something to do with the nicotine levels being higher in the afternoon and switching on the lacrimal gland. I also studied the tear prism, that is the amount of tears in the eye, and compared that in smokers to non-smokers, and I found that it was exactly the same, even though many reported dry eye symptoms, and that was statistically significant. However, there was another finding, and there's the tear film quality, it's called a tear butt, tear breakup time, was reduced in smokers, again, as you probably expect, because if their meibomian glands are irritated or harmed in some way, then the lipid levels would drop. And I found that their tears evaporated the teabup with 9 seconds. But in never-smokers and in long-term ex-smokers, depending on the amount of glands dropped out, it was 12 seconds. And this is, again, statistically significant. As I expected, outdoor workers suffered the greatest number of changes compared to indoor workers and office workers. I do think that cigarettes do change things, but it acts as an accelerator or a contributor to other things that are going on. I've also found a statistically significant amount of migraine sufferers who had watery eyes. Watery eyes and migraines seem to go together in smokers. Migraines, by the way, are very common in smokers. In fact, 40% of my smoking groups seem to have recurrent bad headaches, even if they smoked 4 or 5 cigarettes a day. This inversely related to body size. Larger people didn't seem to get headaches at all.
What changes in the condition and its symptoms were noticed by stopping smoking?
Well, at first, the acute changes stop. The watery eyes that happen in the evening seem to cease after a couple of weeks, and this leaves the eyes actually a little bit more gritty. So the eyes become more sensitive and it feels more gritty, okay? This gradually improves over the following 6 months. So after 6 months, they're basically out of it and their eyes will improve in clarity and sharpness, okay? And their tear film will recover. The meibomian glands, which is part of my main study, seem to be unable to recover, and lid margin notches and dropouts remain right through to the end, as far as I can see anyway. This causes a problem for longer-term smokers who have a greater number of dropouts, as their T-butt will be always reduced and the lipid layer of the tear film will always be a bit diminished. There seems to be little you can offer them apart from comfort eye drops and sprays and things like that. However, the good news is after a few months, the eyes will regain normal comfort as much as possible.
What treatments did you find helped a smoker with dry eye symptoms?
If the meibomian glands are damaged, it is theoretically possible that omega-3 fish oils, this is a particular interest of mine actually, would increase their secretion. If we can improve the lipid layer of the tears, then we will dramatically improve their dry eye symptoms. But I haven't tried this in practice to know. One thing's for certain, there's a lot of redundancy in meibomian glands, so it doesn't matter how many drop out, as long as you've got something there, you will get some lipid. Our intention is to increase the lipid as much as possible. So I also suggest to the patients that they use lid warming techniques. You can get a thing called an eye bag and you can warm up the eyelids every day. And I suggest that they do this using a wetted kitchen towel, so it gives a bit of a sauna bath to the eyes. And they find that very soothing. And then they can use a kitchen towel, which has been wetted, of course, to wipe their eyelids. Okay, make sure they're nice and clean and stimulate the glands. I find that all these things will help. But the main help comes from thinking about stopping smoking. Mm. And I do suggest that to them. If people smoke more than maybe 20 pack years, so they're in their mid-40s and they've had a good smoke, it becomes increasingly hard for them to get ocular comfort.
So what advice would you give to an optometrist with a patient presenting with symptoms possibly caused by smoking?
Well, what I would say to the optician is always consider smoking as a cause of dry eye and always have a look. If they think the dry eye is related, then they will usually have lipid layer problems, which can be seen, maybe in the form of streaking of the fluorescein picture, or if you get the patient to look down and they look at the tear pool, they might not notice any colour fringes of the tear of the lipid layer. These are all quite good signs. Then they can think about smoking as a part of their dry eye problem and counsel people on them. These people have plenty of tears in their eyes, so comfort eye drops won't do that much. They will be helped, though, by lipid sprays and eyelid cleaners. There's also a big association with migraines, and people who come in presenting with migraines need to be asked about their smoking habits. I think smoking is quite dose dependent, and I think it's worth thinking about children, because having a small body, passive smoking is quite a big thing for them. And we have quite a few young boys and girls who come in presenting with headaches whose parents smoke, and the young boys and girls again will have gritty eye or weepy eye, so maybe they are being affected by this. The other thing I'd advise is always check for thyroid eye disease in smokers.
Thank you, Susan and Stephen.